the wisest man that ever lived, spoke prolifically on wisdom. And his words were, my son, my son. And his name was Solomon. And of course, we know that the wisest God man, Jesus, was like Solomon, the son of David. Today, we talk to a man of God who has written a book to be read, Fathers and Sons. And let me tell you who's going to introduce him. It's so cool. I feel surrounded by giants. Dr. Alex McFarland is with us. He's always been our resident apologetics expert director. He does these events all over the country, going to be in Salt Lake City soon, was in Greensboro not long ago, and he works closely with all kinds of amazing Christian radio leaders, including our guest today, and the American Family Radio Network, wonderful friends and affiliates. We've been working together to change the world for Jesus for a long, long time. Alex, we got a cool guest, and everyone's perspective of mentoring and the father-son, father-daughter relationship is about to change. Tell everyone about the man who's on with us right now. Introduce him real quick. Set it up, Alex. One can set it up like you. Here's the drum roll. Come on now. Come on. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, Stu. You know, I'm in my ninth year of being on the air with the American Family Radio Network, the show Exploring the Word, and one of the colleagues that I've gotten to be friends with at AFR is Brian Fisher, and he is a journalist. He's been a pastor. But I, you know, for 9 years have just admired this guy, his intellect, his knowledge of Scripture. And, you know, Stu, working with youth as I do, I was so thrilled when Brian wrote a book called The Boy to Man Book. And it's a book for fathers and sons. It's full of wisdom. True story. I read it in one sitting. I got a copy of the book. I sat down, could not put it down. And I wanted people everywhere to know about Brian Fisher and his book because I think God is using it to raise up a generation of Christ-like young men.
And, Brian, you know, it's only in Alex McFarland's style that he literally— we're talking about it, and he says, I'm going to call Brian right now. I'm like, no way. There's no way to find him. I mean, that's like finding the president, you know? And Brian answered. Yeah, they must have told him it was you and not me, right?
Well, I don't know about that. But Brian is a great intellect, but even more than his mind, he's got a great heart for Jesus. And that's why I want people to know about his book.
So, Brian, that's some high billing there, my friend. But, you know, what is your—tell us a little bit about your passion, my friend, and what God's put on your heart to put this book. I mean, this is a very— I can't think of a better time in our world's history for a book like this to come out.
Well, I do think there's a real deficit of biblical masculinity in our culture right now. It's evident in our homes. It's evident in our neighborhoods. It's evident in our education system. It's even evident in our churches. I think in a lot of ways, Christianity and Christian men have become feminized. You know, we have exalted all of the feminine virtues, softness and forgiveness and gentleness and kindness, all of which are great virtues. I'm not denigrating any of them. But they're also a set of masculine virtues, strength and assertiveness, the willingness to confront evil, the willingness to speak truth, even when it's dangerous. Those are masculine virtues that we see illustrated all the time in the life of Christ. And those are kind of in short supply right now in the church. And looking at trying to fix that crisis of masculinity, fill that vacuum that's been left, I thought, well, maybe the best way to do it is to reclaim America's manhood one 12-year-old boy at a time, sort of get to them before the world has saturated them. They've been brainwashed with the thinking of the world, and who better to do the introduction to the biblical concepts of manhood and masculinity than the boy's own father? You know, and I was struck, we mentioned this in our before the interview started, but mentioned that you read through the book of Proverbs, and you mentioned this, Stu, yourself, that Solomon 23 times in that book says, my son. He's addressing the words to my son, addressing these words to his own son. This is all the truths, all the principles, all the perspectives about life that he wanted his own son to have as he moved into maturity. Well, like you mentioned, he's the wisest man that ever lived, so I think we probably ought to pay attention. And so I really treat the book of Proverbs as a training manual for fathers and sons. And I've written this book to be read by a father to his son, or better, by a father with his son. Bite-sized length chapters take 5-6 minutes to read through them. There's a prayer at the end of every chapter that a father can pray over his son to pray the word of God into his life. Okay. And so that's the purpose of the book.
That's fantastic. Now, I remember as a young lad, my dad, and I would be sitting on the back porch or the balcony or the kitchen table. And his default was always to open the Bible, and he always opened the Bible to the book of Proverbs and to the chapter of the book of Proverbs that corresponded with that day's date.
Mm-hmm.
And it taught me early to read. In fact, even in my devotions today, if I'm journeying through Luke right now with a bunch of guys, but when I'm studying the Word and I need something, I'll go to whatever today's date is and open that proverb. And that's what I loved about this. When Alex shared with me about your really cool book, this mentoring book, you know, boys to men to boys, the companion, where you grab a young fella or you get together, you read this passage together, and you talk, you know, gets into the heart and into what true manhood is and what all these issues that you just described very eloquently. There's a discipleship thing that happens. We call it mentoring. We call it coaching. We call it big brother, big sister. But discipleship, that's a real lost art in the church today. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, I played tennis with a guy not too long ago, and I said, hey, how does your church disciple? He said, I'm not sure we do that. And, of course, I found out the guy's connected with some other men, and he's doing some things. But the fact that it's almost like a bad word, not a bad word, but a foreign word, Brian, how have we lost that, and how can we get back to real life, life on life, Jesus with his disciples, my son, kind of discipleship in the church today? Give us a quick challenge, and we'll give you a shout-out about how folks can get a hold of this great new book, okay?
Well, you know, we have lost the art of mentoring, the art of discipleship, and I think maybe the best way to get that back is to give fathers a handy tool that they can use to mentor and disciple their own sons. That's where mentoring and discipleship really ought to begin, fathers helping their sons understand the truth of the Word of God. So that's the purpose of this book. It's user-friendly. You know, I think there's hundreds of thousands of dads across this country. I was one of them when my son was 12.
Mm.
You know, you feel this responsibility as a dad. You've got a young boy. He's just verging into the teenage years where he's going to be on an accelerated path toward adulthood. And you want to do something for him to help prepare him for the next stage in his life, but you're just not sure exactly what to do. You don't have a process to follow. And so I'm going to make it as easy as possible for dads, fathers of 12-year-old boys, to have a tool that they could use to help their sons as they enter that glide path toward maturity, give them a good, solid foundation in the Word of God. I've got chapters in there on the issue of pornography, chapters on a relationship with God, chapters on the Word of God, chapters on money, chapters on work. I've got a chapter on pornography. I've got a chapter on sex. I've got a chapter on dating. Who do you date? And then if you're in a dating relationship, how far can you go in that dating relationship? I got a chapter on that. And then how do you recognize the woman that you are supposed to marry? I've got a whole chapter on that, and I've got a dead giveaway. When you can answer this question, you know you've met the woman that you're supposed to marry. So anyway, that's some of the stuff that we get into in the book, and I hope that fathers will find it very helpful with their sons.
Fantastic. Well, we're very excited. Tell us where people can find the book, and tell us, you know, maybe, you know, shoot the title, the subtitle one more time. Brian Fisher, great man of God, great author, longtime talk show host. In fact, he's about to go on the air with his show, so we're his warm-up. We're his pregame.
We have to watch that clock.
Warm-up, watching that clock. But, Brian, give us a quick shout on how folks can get this book.
Okay, you bet. The name of the book, again, is The Boy to Man Book, and you can pick it up at our online store, afastore.net, afastore.net. Very easy to remember. Where do you go to buy stuff from AFA? You go to afastore.net, and you can place an order for a book. We're very pleased. We actually are sold out right now. So we've got a whole shipment on back order. It'll be in shortly, so people can they'll get their book. They just have to pre-order it now because of the demand, which is kind of gratifying to us. But anyway, if they put a pre-order in there at afastore.net, it will be there in a matter of days or a couple of weeks.
Okay, that's The Boy to Man Book. It's at the afastore.net. And Brian Fisher, the author of that book, Fathers, Get Your Sons. Dads, sons, dads, daughters, moms, get your daughters, go through the Word together. I was just challenging a large assembly of young people to pray for your future spouse. You're going to be spending 50 years with that person, Lord willing. So start praying for them now and to avoid this mini-divorce dating game that's such nonsense. you know, in high school and really drill deeper spiritually in these relationships. Brian Fisher's got a whole section in his book, Boy to Man Book, on that topic, preparing for that big day, that marriage. He's dropped by the Truth Booth this morning on his way to his own program. Brian, what an honor to visit with you, my friend, and God bless you as you continue to spread the good news of Jesus across the airwaves in print and in radio. Blessings to you.
Well, thank you very much, Stu, and thank you for having me on, and God bless you, and God bless your cohort in crime there, Alex McFarland.
Yes, sir. Watch out for that
guy. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Thanks, Alex, for bringing us together today.
Glad to do it.
What do you do when that stern, smart, liberal professor looks over his bespectacled nose and says to you, you really believe the Bible? You really believe Jesus was a historical figure? What are you thinking? What do you do with all those challenges and attacks that come from a professor, maybe a boss, a coworker, maybe a teacher? You're in public high school and you're hearing those kind of challenges to your faith. How do you respond? I am sitting next to a guy who spent his whole life preparing you for that answer. He is Dr. Alex McFarland, my main man, the longtime Truth Network apologetics resident expert, man of God. He's written this book that just keeps coming back. I mean, this book has sold thousands of copies, The 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity. He wrote another book very similar to this called Stand, S-T-A-N-D. Dr. Alex McFarland, man, it's good to have you back in the Truth Booth.
Oh, man, it's good to be home. I mean, this is my home. This is where my radio ministry started. And so to see you and all you've done to help me preach the gospel and defend the faith, thanks, man. It is great to be back at the Truth.
Well, you're not only a great author, a great man of God, preacher, leading people to Christ all over the place, and partner on the Truth Network, but you also can make some daggum good peanut butter.
Well, my grandmother taught me how to do that.
That stuff's so good.
Back in the Depression, they made their own mayonnaise, they made ketchup, and my grandmother made peanut butter. I was about 13, and she remarked that she, in the Depression, made peanut butter, and I was like, whoa, teach me how to make peanut butter. So, you know, it's kind of one of those side things that we do.
That's such a cool thing. And you blessed us. This was the greatest blessing I think we had this earlier this year at Christmas time. Alex McFarland came in with a big case, and we're thinking, this has got to be the gift that keeps on giving. And we opened the case, and the team at the Truth Network is still riding high on that peanut butter you brought. Everyone got it, so it was crunchy, there was smooth. I had had some dental surgery, I dove into that smooth peanut butter, creamy, and it is creamy, but it's good.
A lot of protein, very healthy. Yeah. And we use all domestically grown peanuts, no GMO, none of that. And a lot of the store brands have a lot of corn syrup. Kids get addicted to sugar through peanut butter. And so we have no sugar, no corn syrup, no chemicals.
Well, we're going to get that out to our people. So we're going to find a way to offer that peanut butter at the
Truth
Network.
Google Alex McFarland's peanut butter.
Okay.
So we've got a beautiful website, okay. Alex McFarland.
We'll do a link and we'll do some kind of part. We'll start advertising that, okay?
Yeah, we need to do that. Oh, but okay. Man, you've got the greatest stuff. You know, coming in here and to see Michael Carbone and Robbie Dillmore and all the people and, of course, you. It really is a family. If you don't know, the Truth Ministry, the radio that Stu does, and I want to interview you. How did God put it on your heart to reach our world through radio?
He's turned the tables. Well, I'll tell you what.
Did you see how I did that?
That was pretty good.
I got to
take notes here.
I had a good teacher.
You are the reason godly men like you and women with a message that the world needs to hear are the reason God called me this.
Yeah.
God said, look, start something that the mic can come on and people can speak out about the truth of Jesus. And people all over the world are hearing this program, by the way, right now. Yeah. We just brought on the Wilkins Radio Network, 40 radio signals across the Midwest, the Southeast, the Northeast, even as far as Fresno, California, are listening to Truth Talk Weekend right now and hearing your voice because they're committed to the gospel. We love them. We love our affiliates in Jacksonville, Northern Florida, 91.3 FM. 91.7 FM, 91.9 FM in St. Augustine. They're called The Truth. We love our wonderful affiliates that carry this program. And when God called me to start this ministry, The Truth Network, he said, do a talk show and interview godly thinkers and thought leaders like Alex McFarland. So you are helping people, young people in particular. Someone just goes to Jacksonville State and they take archaeology, or they take epistemology, or they take philosophy, and their professor starts attacking their faith. Where do you start, Alex? Like, let's just make it really simple. Keep it to the Remember the KISS method. Keep it simple, stew.
Right. Uh-huh.
Keep it on the bottom level. Put the cookies on the lowest shelf for me and our listeners right now. Where do you start if I want to be prepared to walk in and stand up for my faith and, you know, not just win an argument, but win souls?
Well, great question. You ask, what do students say when the professor says, do you really believe that? Well, if they've been to one of our Truth for a New Generation conferences, or if they've been through our training, the student is going to be able to confidently stand up for their beliefs. But, you know, I think about this, ABC, authority, beliefs, and then conversation. Ask people, you know, what is your authority for that?
Very good.
Yeah, what do you base it on? If you say the Bible is full of errors, you know, why do you say that? And then what do you really believe about God, or even things like this country and how this country was founded? And then start a conversation. More and more in this culture, Stu, we have to build relationships.
Authority, belief, conversation. I love that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we short-circuit the relationship side to just go after someone.
A data dump.
We try to attack them as opposed to saying, hey, listen, I love you. I want to encourage you. You're made in the image of God. I don't care if you're a whatever you're, you know, atheist. You know, you're made in the image of God. I want to care about you and bring you to Christ. It may be buying them a cup of soup or a cup of coffee.
Exactly. You know, I've found atheists, even Muslims. I led a Muslim man to Christ, baptized him after he had given his life to the Lord. But it takes relationships, and that's not always convenient. I mean, it takes an investment of time. It does. But people, you know the old saying, it's a cliche, but they don't care what you know till they know how much you care. Mm-hmm. We have to earn the right to be heard.
So in your books, The 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity, which I just got another copy. I love this.
Cool.
A couple of chapters. And folks, you got to get this book. Creation is a myth. Common objection. What about evolution? Could God have created us but used evolution to do it? What about this? The Bible's not completely authentic. What about Jesus was just a man? What about Jesus is not the only way to heaven? I mean, a loving God, why would a loving God send people to hell? Alex, this book is rich. Those are the objections, of course. That's not what we're teaching.
Yeah, exactly.
But you go in and you tear those apart and you equip believers to go back to ABC, authority.
Beliefs.
So what's your authority? What's your belief on this? And then let's have a conversation.
Exactly.
Hey, I love it when, in fact, I just got my hair cut a few days ago.
Sure.
Got my ears lowered. And the sweet lady that cuts my hair, her kids are asking these tough questions. Is homosexuality a sin?
Yeah.
You know, how can a loving God send people all the way over there in Timbuktu to hell? You know, so she's asking me that because her kids are asking her that. And I didn't bite her head off. I didn't chew her out. I didn't say, how dare you? You know, which sometimes we do that. You know, I don't ever want to countenance such questions. No, it was a great dialogue that I had with her. And I tried to give her some things, you know, grateful, by the way, for godly friends like you, like Alex, who have equipped and discipled me in this area to do national radio on these topics.
Sure.
But there's a way we can speak the truth in love, right? Just like Jesus said.
Exactly. Trust, honesty, respect. If you want to build an avenue whereby conversation back and forth can go on so that you can share the gospel, tell them how they can be saved. There has to be trust, honesty, and respect. And, you know, that book we wrote, the questions represent talks at some 200 universities across America. And I just numbered, and then we've done several other books, but the 10 most common objections to Christianity and how you can effectively answer them. There's also an appendix in the back for moms and dads, if you're raising teens, how to impart a biblical worldview to your kids. And then a 12-week small group, like a Sunday school curriculum, right there in the bottom back of the book. So you can find all my books, like if you go online to Amazon, or better yet, patronize your local Christian retailer. But just Google my name, you'll find this and probably about 29 other resources the Lord has allowed me to create.
Okay, that's tremendous. So this book I'm looking at here has got the big X mark, the most 10 most common objections.
Yeah.
You're helping kids with school. You wrote one recently about younger people, like kids. Remember that time we had a room full of kids?
Oh, man. You know, it's one of the great things. And by the way, hey, let me say something here. If you're listening to this network and you think you know Stu, but you don't really know Stu, let me tell you the Stu Epperson that I've known for 20 years. Every restaurant we've ever been to, which is a lot, he will share the gospel with the server. We were once at an intersection In the car, Stu jumped out of the driver's seat, started giving truth bookmarks to people at an intersection.
Well, you just send a light, Alex. Why waste time?
Yeah,
right?
I know. That's,
the time,
that's
the days
21 seconds we
red.
Can witness to somebody.
That's the most annoying light in town.
You folks, listen, you may not know this. Maybe you do. This is probably the most ardent follower of Jesus I've ever known, shares the gospel with people everywhere. And Stu, I mean, you laugh and cut up, and you're a lot of fun, but I want to commend you for being probably the most consistent witness for Jesus I've ever known.
Wow.
And folks, you need to pray for this man. He's putting radio and the gospel in the far-flung parts of this country that need to hear the gospel. I do want to give a big shout out.
Hold that thought. Give the shout out when we come back on this break.
More okay, we got a break.
We got a few more minutes with him. He's going to hang around a little bit longer. 336-759-0363 is the world headquarters of the Truth Network's phone number if you ever want to reach out to us. But you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Alex can hook up there too.
Yes.
And all of his stuff about his book will be at social media too. Stay tuned. We'll grab you on the other side of this break. Man, I need to have this guy on my show more often. I'm telling you what, I talked to him, tried to blow his book up and encourage him, and the ratings are going up. Then he starts turning the table and tells everyone to pray for me, and he starts saying these nice things about me. Alex McFarland, I tell you what, man, what a great friend you've been all these years. You're iron sharpening iron. I always try to buy you lunch, even though you don't let me a lot, because I always learn a lot more from you than you do from me.
Well,
but man, thanks for coming on and for talking about your book, and thanks for all you're doing to equip young people. The next generation, man, these millennials, we got to get them equipped to share the gospel with the world. They're looking to be empowered. They're tired of being placated. They're tired of being treated like little babies.
They want to be stretched. Yes. They're ready for it. Hey, in 1908, G.K. Chesterton said this. Now listen to this. I want your response. Chesterton said, as much as we need to win the lost to Christianity, more and more we need to win the Christians to Christianity.
Oh, wow.
What do you think he meant by that?
Well, I think, you know, honestly, Alex, I think he meant what Jerry Bridges, who's gone to be with the Lord, meant when he said that we need to preach the gospel to ourselves.
Hmm. Wow.
How we have forgotten. And I have people saying this all the time. Well, I go to this church, but they never talk about sharing the gospel, and they never cast a net, and they never challenge us to disciple. And I'm thinking, okay, well, time out. That's not a biblical church.
Right.
Go plug in where your pastor's preaching the word, where the gospel is the center.
Yes.
The gospel is the focus. Not just the gospel a la the diving board into the faith, but the gospel is the whole pool. See, that's a Tim Keller statement. So the gospel, the gospel is the same Jesus that saved you, the same cross, resurrection, righteous life of Jesus,
Amen.
Saved by his life, Romans 5,
Double
is that
preach.
Same thing which propels you. It's just what Jesus said. As you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, Paul said in Colossians 2, so walk in him. So it's that same, he who began a good work in you will be able to complete it. It's that same power that brought you in that sustains and builds. So I think what Chesterton said is we need to go back to the basics, a la Vince Lombardi, this is a football, but there's so much infinite depth and riches in the cross of Christ. That's why Paul said, I'll boast in nothing but the cross of Christ.
Amen.
I had this debate with a family member not too long ago who was saying, well, now we've got the Holy Spirit, and now it's just going to be this open revelation, and he's just going to, I'm like, time out. The Holy Spirit's going to exalt Jesus Christ in my life every day. I'm going to bear his marks in my body. I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. So, Alex, I think your quote, I think on a deeper level, we got to get back to this book.
Yeah.
We got to get back to knowing Jesus. And we got to get back to this statement. And this is going to rock a lot of worlds out there. And even the apologetics geniuses, we got to decide, is Jesus Christ enough?
Mm. Wow.
That polemic, that axiomatic truth, is Jesus Christ enough? Let's make it a statement. Jesus Christ is enough. Maybe at least start the conversation there. If I believe that, I'm going to go out in all kinds of different ways. I'm going to chase a lot of bunnies. I'm going to deal with someone who's going to ask me any kind of question that's going to get in the apologetic realm.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're an atheist, whether they're a rationalist, whether they're a deist, whether they're an agnostic, whatever they are, whether they're a false religion, whether it's my Mormon friends who have a false view of who God is, and they have a false view of the gospel. You know, their book says that you're saved by grace after all that you can do.
Yeah.
So they sprinkle in the poison of leaven of works into the saving act of Jesus. Yeah. Bottom line is we're only saved by one person's works, and it's not yours. It's the perfect work of Jesus.
On the cross, John 19:30, Jesus said, it is finished, paid in full. The word tetelestai. Do you know that they found that word on ancient invoices, meaning a bill was paid in full. And you know, Stu, to everybody listening, I want to say this. If you feel guilty and you think God couldn't love me and I'm too bad of a sinner, listen, Jesus does love you. And Jesus gave his life on the cross. And I want to say, listen carefully, Jesus is as close by as a prayer. Mm. And if you will turn to Christ right now and you say, Lord, I admit that I am a sinner and I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe on the cross he paid for my sins. Stu, the great news, people can be forgiven. Here's the thing, if you will turn to Jesus, put your trust in him, call on him right now, not tomorrow, but now, and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent, Lord, save me, Jesus will save Amen. You. He can forgive whatever you've done. He can heal whatever's been done to you. And Stu, don't you rejoice in verses like John 6:37, where Christ said, the one who comes to me, I will not reject. Doesn't that just thrill your heart?
It's huge. And it goes back to what you said at the very beginning, and it may have been the last segment, where you said you approach sharing the gospel with the ABCs.
Yes.
Authority.
What's your authority?
So have I come to a point where I've gotten on my knees and I said, you're my authority, God. You're God, I'm not, and I want you. Belief, have I believed in him? And are you talking to people about what do you believe? And then thirdly, conversation.
Yeah.
That engenders a sense of caring and really, so it starts with me personally, and then the ABCs, authority, belief, conversation. As you said, it goes out to people. And what you just said is so important a second ago, and we say so much, we move so fast, but folks, please don't lose this. Your atheist friend could have an aunt dying of cancer.
Yeah.
And honestly, they really don't care that you have accurate, logical ontology when it comes to the pre-Diluvian era of Genesis 6 or the fragmentation of the geological structure of the inner core of the Earth or whatever.
Yes.
Or the astronomical abnormalities of another galaxy outside of
and
ours.
And the speed of light in deep space.
When their aunt is dying, you know what they need? They need you to show up, shut up, bring them hot soup, put your arm around them, say, you know what? I know you don't believe in God, but I'm praying for you. And I care about you. And you know what? Here's 20 bucks because I noticed that your gas tank's on empty half the time, and it's a struggle right now for your family. That's what reaches people with the good news of Jesus.
Do you remember that kind of caring.
But that doesn't mean that we're void of knowing what we believe and why we believe it at the same time.
20 years ago, we were in your other studio just across the way, and we had a debate with an atheist. And after the debate, and for an hour I was on your station debating, he called me, and he asked me if I would pray for his wife who had cancer.
Isn't that something?
Isn't that wild? And of course,
that's what we're talking about.
People are
what
hungry.
If you had yelled and blistered him, and in the name of showing off to all this audience out there, well, I'm smarter than you, and instead you were gracious enough on the air that you gave him that, what is that Peter passage? Be ready always.
First Peter 3:15.
You quote it all the time. Well, let me quote it real quick.
Well, set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect.
The world's without hope.
Yeah, and here's another good verse, not only 1 Peter 3:15, but 1 Peter 2:15. This is the will of God, that by doing well, you will put to silence the arguments of foolish men. See, we have a true message, but we are to be true messengers.
It's like with the Benham brothers, who they get a lot of heat for.
Oh, I love those guys.
You know, they go to Charlotte, the big homosexual pride rally.
Yeah.
And they go out with these Christian T-shirts saying God has a better way, and they go out. It's blistering hot. You know what they handed out to those people? Ice cold bottles of water.
Oh wow!
Here, these radical folks are chanting, "Down with marriage!" You're evil. You know, attacking Christians. And these Benham brothers and their whole group of folks, the life people, great folks, are doing this wonderful
And Dr.
ministry.
Brown.
Dr. Brown, he's leading the charge out there. They're handing out cold bottles of water that says God is a better way. We love you. And it's showing them that, hey, you know what?
That's true.
And a lot of folks in that lifestyle, they've been hurt. They've been damaged. They've been abused. And they've been embraced by other folks who've been hurt, damaged, and abused too. And it's time the Christians come along and say, hey, I love you. And guess what? Christ loves you. And Christ will give you more dignity than any movement and any lifestyle and all this transgender stuff, and Christ will bring clarity. The only person that can bring clarity to your struggle. We all have struggles, you know. We sometimes
is,
we elevate
is the Lord
one
who
sin over
made
the other.
Us and the Lord who loves us.
That's right.
You know, Stu, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I've interviewed 34 of the world's top atheists, like Christopher Hitchens and David Silverman, Michael Shermer, all these people for the different books. Okay, I want to say this: atheism, sexual deviancy, rejection of God, rejection of morals. All of those begin with emotional pain. Mm. I've got a dear friend in Greensboro named Jake Thornhill. He's the pastor of Life Community
Church. That's where you had the big event. Remember we promoted that real hard? Yeah, last year.
Jake, I love what he says. He says, every member a minister. Mm. And if you're a born-again believer, for one thing, you're a member of the family of God. I hope you're a member of a good Bible-believing church. But look, it's not just the preacher's job. Every member of the body of Christ has the duty, I would really say the privilege of being a witness for Christ. Now, Stu, when I was in college and I got saved, I was so shy, I was so timid, I was such an introvert. You never would have dreamed that I could have talked to anybody about the gospel. But I wanted my friends to get saved, and I'm telling you, if God could use some backward, socially awkward person like me to be a witness and lead people to Christ, anybody could. Think about every member a minister.
Yeah. So we're going to challenge you to do what 90% of believers are not doing right now. That's going to stop. We're going to challenge everyone listening. You're accountable for what you're hearing right now.
Tell somebody about Jesus.
Tell someone about Jesus. Have a conversation. What do you think about Jesus? Hey, guess who's coming back? Jesus.
That's right. And,
but
for
use
real.
The ABCs, which are real quick as we wrap up.
What is your authority? What do you believe? And please, can we have a conversation?
ABC, authority, belief, and conversation.
And the most important conversation of all is call out to the Lord. Have that conversation with God and turn right now. Folks, don't delay. Turn to Jesus. Say, dear Lord, come into my life. Yeah. Save me. And he will do that.
You know, my mom and I have been in situations. I've been in situations as long as I've been a Christian. I've been with genuine, sweet people. And I've simply said, you know, you're an amazing person. You're so kind and gracious. You know all about God. Have you ever received Jesus as your Savior? Have you ever just stopped, dropped, prayed, and said, Lord, come into my life and save me? I confess with my mouth that you're Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Come and save me. Make a new person. I don't even know how to articulate that the best, but save me. Yeah. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Amen.
The thief said it that way, right?
He did.
Luke 23. But I've said that to people, and you would not believe I've had many people, dozens of people over the years, who say, you know what? I've never really received Christ. I've never truly been born again. And so I've invited them to come into the family, and hey, guess what? I'm as broken or more broken than you. I just have a Savior that is healing me, and I want to bring you into that relationship with the Father who made you.
And you would be amazed. Stu, I've said this before. I've said, listen, would you pray right now, and let's make sure of your salvation. Are you ready right now to know that you're ready to meet the Lord? You would be amazed how many people will say, you know, yeah, I really need to nail this down. So talk to people. There are millions out there. They're hungry, they're ready, but we've got to talk to them.
Okay, we're going to make this into a podcast. You'll find it there. Thank you to all our wonderful Truth Talk Weekend affiliates, the Wilkins Radio Network, people all over the country carrying the program. And thank you, Dr. Alex McFarland. Get his book, The 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity. Get his book, Stand, the evidence is the core values of the
core
faith.
Core truth for an unshakable
faith.
And
then the one to the young folks. You've written so many. We'll take the rest. It will take 2 hours to name them all.
Stand, core truth for an unshakable faith, and then stand strong in college. What you'll hear your freshman year.
Awesome. Okay. Yes. Get his books. Be encouraged by this man and call him up and have him come speak at your church.
AlexMcFarland.com.
Okay.
AlexMcFarland.com.
Fantastic. We got to go. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Back with more Truth Talk Weekend and more encouragement on this station after this. God bless you. And share Jesus with someone before your head hits that pillow tonight.